My Flamboyant Grandson by George Saunders is performed by Harris Yulin.
I had brought my grandson to New York to see a show because what is he always doing up here in Oneonta? Singing and dancing. Sometimes to my old show tune records, but more often than not to his favorite CD, Babar Sings. Sometimes even making up his own steps, which I do not mind, or rather I try not to mind it. Although I admit that once, coming into his room and finding him wearing a pink boa while singing, in the voice of the old lady, "I have never met a man like that elephant," I had to walk out and give it some deep thought and prayer, as was also the case when he lumbered into the parlor during a recent church couple's dinner, singing "Big and Slow, Yet So Very Regal," wearing a tablecloth spray-painted gray so as to more closely resemble Babar. Being a man who knows something about grandfatherly disapproval, having had a grandfather who constantly taunted me for having enlarged calves, to the extent that even today, while bathing, I find myself thinking unkind thoughts about grandfather. What I prayed on both occasions was, "Dear Lord, he is what he is, let me love him no matter what. If he's a gay child, God bless him. If he is a non-gay child who simply very much enjoys wearing his grandmother's wig while singing Edelweiss to the dog, so be it. And in either case, let me communicate my love and acceptance in everything I do. Because where is a child to go for unconditional love if not to his grandfather? He has had it tough, in my view, with his mother in Nevada and a father unknown, raised by his grandmother and me in an otherwise childless neighborhood, playing alone in a tiny yard that ends in a graveyard wall. The boys in his school are hard on him, as are the girls, as are his teachers. And recently we found his book bag in the Susquehanna. And recently also found, taped to the back of his jacket, a derogatory note, and the writing on it was not all that childish looking. And there were rumors that his bus driver had written it. Then one day I had a revelation. If the lad likes to sing and dance, I thought, why not expose him to the finest singing and dancing there is? So I called 1-800-CULTURE, got our promissory voucher in the mail, and on Teddy's birthday, we took the train down to New York. As we entered the magnificent lobby of the Eisner Theater, I was in good spirits, saying to Teddy, "The size of this stage will make that little stage I built you behind the garage look pathetic." When suddenly we were stopped by a stern young fellow, a Mr. Ernesti, I believe, who said, "We're sorry, sir, but you cannot be admitted on merely a promissory voucher. Are you kidding us? You must take your voucher and your proof of purchases from at least 6 of our major artistic sponsors, such as AOL, such as Coke, and go at once to the Redemption Center on 44th and Broadway to get your real actual tickets. And please do not be late, as latecomers cannot be admitted due to special effects which occur early, which require total darkness in order to simulate the African jungle at night." Well, this was news to me, but I was not about to disappoint the boy. We left the Eisner and started up Broadway, the Everly readers in the sidewalk reading the Everly strips in our shoes, the building-mounted mini-screens at eye level showing images reflective of the personal preferences we'd stated on our monthly Everly preference worksheets, the numerous Cybex sudden emergent screens out-thrusting or down-thrusting inches from our faces. And in addition, I could very clearly hear the sound-only messages being beamed to me and me alone via various Casio or